Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the N+1 studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfurt. In this podcast, we explore the world of age group triathletes. We'll be looking at the real-world challenges of being an amateur multi-sport athlete. I'm your host, Linda Word, along with my co-host, Brian Schenkenfelder. What's up, Brian?
I'm good. I'm phenomenal. I'm ready to go. A little bit injured today.
Yeah, I saw that. What'd you do? Well,
not a good
I have
thing.
A wild guess, but anyway. We won't go there.
Yeah, no, over the weekend, went skiing up at Perfect North Slopes, which is outside of Cincinnati.
I couldn't remember if, is Paoli still open? Like, we have like
Paoli's still
two
open, yeah.
Ski slopes. And
I would have preferred Paoli.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought one of them had closed for some reason.
Paoli had closed for a little while, but I believe it reopened.
Okay. All right, so you went to Perfect North.
Went to Perfect North over the weekend. It was, we had all that snow. The weather was in the low 40s. It was pretty good ski weather.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently all of Cincinnati agreed with us. Looking back, we probably should have gone to Paoli. Paoli just has less population areas around it.
Okay.
They draw from a little bit wider area. They don't have the crowds this place had.
Gotcha.
It was bad. We took us like an hour to get our tickets and our boots.
Oh.
And then each lift was 20, 30 minute wait for like a 2 minute run. It really wasn't worth the money we spent on it.
Yeah.
We went, number of kids from the school, Alex's friends, hey, let's go skiing, introduce them to skiing. Great mm-hmm. idea. Alex did pretty well out there. He at least can kamikaze down the hill. And he can turn left and right a little bit. He's not quite to the point where he can go back and forth or anything, but he at least can avoid some of the traffic. He kept kind of falling. But for the most part, he got the basics of getting down the hill and getting back up the hill.
Okay.
They've changed quite a bit since I've last been skiing. Now that's probably been 9 years.
Okay.
The bunny slopes used to have like a tow rope where you'd grab a tow rope and it'd pull you up.
It'd push you up.
They don't have that anymore.
How do you get back up?
They have like a people mover. It's like the things they have in the airport that
like an escalator that's not conveyor belt.
They have a conveyor belt to pull you up, which is an interesting concept.
So you're standing on skis.
You slide up and it just kind of pulls you up. It's real kind of sticky.
You hold on to the side or
no.
You're just standing on
it? You're standing on it.
And you can fall off it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't go very fast.
Okay.
The dangerous part is when they have to stop it when someone like falls.
Right.
Because it's very abrupt.
Then everybody falls. That's like a whole little dominoes thing.
Whole domino, everybody falling forward.
Wow. That would be hysterical. Sorry. Sorry if you've done that and I'm laughing at you, but it's
no, that's what it was for everybody. I only had it happen to me once and it was like very jarring. Because you're not ready for it. You're just kind of standing there. It's like bam. Almost fall forward. It was interesting. He got to be able to use that. We got him on a ski lift once for like another like kind of entry level hill.
Mm-hmm.
That was challenging. We got him up. He got it off the lift okay, but I guess my wife kind of was holding his hand and kind of panicked, and they kind of went down the face of it.
Oops.
They kept it going though, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't usually stop it unless somebody's like gets
really
knocked
in the
out
way
or something. Yeah.
I had to try to go back and pick them up and get them going. And this hill had a little more steepness to it. We had a couple false starts.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually he got going and he just kind of kamikaze his way down to the bottom. And I guess kind of the bottom, there's people. So he just kind of panicked and fell over to stop, which works.
You know, that definitely works. That's my skiing strategy too.
You got plenty of room. You could have just kept going until you stopped.
Yeah, no. Just fall.
It's not like there was like a barrier or something he was going to run into.
Yeah, okay.
It was an interesting time. It just very long time in the line. And people, I guess, were still afraid to like ride with each other on chairlifts. So you see these like ones going up and you're like, really? Really? Can't you just jump in with somebody? It's a ski lift.
Are they, were they letting people?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure what the restrictions
they
would be.
Did. No one cared. I mean, their people were jammed in the whole time.
Yeah.
I think in one of the ski lifts, I saw one dude walking around. I was like, oh, cover up your face. Just one of them of the five or six. Most of the time, it was kind of this free for all, just mob of people. What they did was they had two lines go into the middle, and then like one side would go and they'd fill up this middle queue. They'd go through, then they'd take one from the side and go through.
Okay.
It was kind of a let one side at a time, kind of a line of people go through.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I would just kind of look around, hey, do you want to go with me? Because I was by myself at this time because son and why if they can't go down the bigger hill and try to ride with one. But then one time I'm like getting stuck in there. The group behind me had three, and it was only a three-person chair. I'm like, I get out to the main thing, and I'm starting to look around, and like the two girls behind me are like, oh, we're just going to go with each other. And there's one guy in front of me, and I'm like, do you want to go with him? And he's like, no, I prefer to go by myself. Oh, my God.
Oh, are you kidding me?
So there's like three of us, one by one, up this lift with probably 100 people plus waiting to get on chair lifts.
Nice. Well, you know, things are a little different.
It was definitely different, but I have my own skis, but they're probably... I bought them in the mid-90s, so we did the math on there. They're 27 years old.
Right.
I'm like, the technology has changed. Back then, they had a lot longer skis.
Mm-hmm.
The skis I had are good. They're really nice skis. I'm like, I want to try some of these shorter ones, so I'll just go ahead and rent with my family. That way, I can kind of go through the line with them and everything else.
Right.
Otherwise, I could have been out in the slopes an hour before. And I'm on these skis, and I don't know if I got a bad skis or just I wasn't. It's probably pretty poor quality. They're being rented.
Yeah.
They're used
they're rentals,
day in and day out. But I was having trouble a little bit. They had some float to them.
Okay.
It wasn't a problem on the slower hills, but when I got to the really steeper, bigger hills, I ended up having some issues with cutting. I could go back and forth and work my way down the hill, but if I made like a sharper cut to kind of check some of the speed off, for whatever reason, I'm trying to remember what exactly happened, because it happened to me twice. It didn't catch, and then it caught. And it kind of threw me off balance a little bit, and so I went over forward.
Ooh.
It happened to me twice. I'm guessing it's just because the skis probably aren't maintained. I'm wondering if
it's the shape of the bottom of the ski.
It could have been the shape, because they're a little bit different nowadays. Yeah. Back when these had like a little bit of a rounded back end,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was that. Just they had some different sharpness because they were used differently.
Yeah.
It just didn't. It wasn't consistent in how I grabbed as I was going through, and I kind of got thrown forward. And one of the times I got thrown forward, I guess my hand kind of got caught with the ski pole.
Right.
Apparently, it's a fairly normal thing to sprain your thumb skiing. I didn't know that. I'd skied for years and have never sprained my thumb.
I can see. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was cross-country skiing for the last couple of weeks and I can see getting your hand caught just even, you know, if you're going down, your hand's trapped. I mean, it's going to...
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna
it get basically
pulled.
Got trapped.
You were going a whole lot faster than I was.
So. Yes, I was going pretty fast this time. Very disappointing because I guess it could be I was having skied in 9 or 10 years was part of the problem.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it just... There was something inconsistent about the ski that caused me to go down.
Well, I mean, those skis are maintained, you know, they wax them. Well, do they still, were they waxless? Downhill skis, who knows?
The problem is they're used all the time. And
I think of things like, you know, if the wax was not consistent, that it, you know, that part could grab.
It had to be the edge. It had to be something with the edges on them. Caused me some issues. I just, because I was, for the most part, I was fine going down the hills. Just these couple times, I didn't get to go down the hill that many times because it was a 40-minute wait for each time you go down. And I spent a lot of my time with my son just trying to get him going up and down and trying to teach him a little bit about skiing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to the point where I'm now dad, and therefore I can't listen to what you have to say because you obviously don't know anything about it, or I'm trying and blah, blah, blah. So we probably should have gotten – we're at the point now where we need to probably have a third-party ski lessons would have been better. Although he did very well.
So I have a funny ski story. So we went – I downhill ski Massachusetts, you know, up in Vermont and Maine and stuff, but only a few times, and I was not very good. And it was actually before snowboards were around. And the first time I went and there were snowboards, I was like, I don't even know how. I didn't understand how they maneuvered and having them when they first came out, they had them on separate slopes.
Right.
And the first time I went and they were on the same slopes, I mean, I fell, I don't know how many times, just because I didn't know which way they were going.
They have a tendency to sit in the ground and stuff, especially early on as they were learning. They have a tendency to spend a lot of time on the ground.
Yeah. Well, they would cut in front of you, and it's like, you know, and I understood, you know, you could see a person's body skiing and understand where they were turning in front of you or coming behind you, but... The snowboards, it was like, you know, the swooping and everything. It was almost like they were on surfboards. It was very different. But anyway, so we ended up, my husband and I got married in 93, and we went to Snowshoe, West Virginia for our honeymoon, and he bought me ski lessons for our honeymoon because he's like, I want to be married for a long time, so I'm going to put you with an instructor so I can go on the Black Diamonds and we're going to have so much more fun.
Yeah. No.
So I understand the whole, yeah, your dad, it's time to hire somebody. Yeah, my husband got that early on, hire somebody else to teach her.
Right. Like I said, for the most part, because I used to ski all the time when I was in college and stuff. I was not a bad skier. That's why I was kind of a little thrown off when I wrecked twice. I really wasn't sure what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I got kind of thrown and didn't seem right. I should have taken my own skis. Probably the lesson to the story.
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't gotten them out in probably 8 or 9 years. They're probably rusted by now.
I was going to say, they might need
Although they're kept indoors, so it's not like they're out in the humid area. They've been kept indoors for the life of them.
I had so much fun cross-country skiing with my friend's skis that I've actually put a note on my calendar to get on the Ella Bean site in September to order skis for next year. I mean, it's, you know, every 5 years, 6 years that we have this much snow, but... You know, it was really fun. It was great exercise. I had a blast. It was so pretty out. So I may end up getting a couple pairs for my kids, too. I had a new experience this weekend, too. It was my husband's birthday, and my oldest child decided to buy us all tickets to the professional rodeo. Like, I have no idea what prompted her to do that, but we all went Friday night, and it was really interesting, actually. It was.
What events did they have?
All we saw was the bull riding.
Bull riding?
Yeah, professional bull riding. It was PBR, the professional bull riding. So these people are being paid. Most of them were from Argentina, Mexico, South America. Not a whole lot of American names. But it was really, I mean, they do it like a show. It's not like going to your county fair or whatever and seeing bull riding.
Right.
These guys are making some money. You know, I don't know what the prize money was, but this is how they make their living. And it, you know, they had fire and, you know, the pre-show, I mean, DJ, all kinds of music, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it was entertainment.
Right.
More than
I wonder what level it was.
I don't know.
I assume that they have different levels.
Yeah, they do. These guys, I mean, they were pretty good. The youngest guy was 19. And he did really well. He stayed on for 8 seconds. I think my daughter went the second night as well for the championships, and I believe he came in second. He did a backflip when he was done. He was pretty psyched. And then the oldest guy was actually 45, and they were really bragging on him because, good God, that's
a long time to bull ride. That's not a profession that has a very long...
long lifespan for doing that. Yeah, but it was pretty fun. You know, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people in the world that really feel that it's, you know, that it's not right. It's cruel to the animals, da 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 da. But these bulls are worth so much money. They are so pampered. They know exactly what they're doing. And as soon as that rider comes off, they're like, yeah, where's the carrots? You know, I'm going to, you know, see y'all later. And
yeah, it's not like it's bullfighting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you know, the bullfighters are the clowns. You know, that was interesting, too. There were three of them, and two of them were brothers.
Right.
And you actually didn't see them do a whole lot, but what they did, you know, was impressive, and you've just got to have nerves of steel to be doing. And they
it's a big
in
animal.
Front of every single one of them.
Big animals.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, they're inches away from them, and we didn't see anybody get hurt. My daughter said that on the championship night, a couple guys had to be helped off. But nobody was taken off on a stretcher. Everybody walked off on their own 2 feet. A lot of them, just even at the introductions, it's like none of them can walk straight. They've all had several broken.
Oh, yeah, a lot
90%
of them
wore helmets. There were a few that didn't. They just wore cowboy hats. They have to wear the vests.
Right.
A good thing. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was entertaining, and we had pretty good seats. They were up high, but, you know, looking straight down. And
where was it?
It was at Rupp Arena.
Okay.
Lexington. Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, the first time, you know, it was funny, I put something on Facebook, and my friend was like, so it really is your first rodeo? I was like, ha ha, yep, you're right.
That's a good one.
It's like, oh, wow, she's a lot sharper than I was. Anyway, so, all right, well, let's get on to triathlon. So how did your training go? Let's see, when did you hurt your hand?
That would have been Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Yeah.
So looks that like, kind of puts a halt to a few things.
Looks like running will be... I'm not sure I could bike. I don't think I can. I don't know if I can put enough pressure. I was going to probably try just to see if I can get on a bike, but I'm not sure I can. I'm pretty sure I can't swim, although I'll probably try sometime later this week, maybe when the swelling finally goes down.
A lot of the fist drill, the fist paddle drill.
Well, I can't do a fist. Oh, my problem is it's my thumb. I can't grasp anything. It's really become a huge impediment because I can't.
And it's your right hand. Are you right-handed?
I'm right-handed, too. I can't pick up anything and hold anything with this thumb. It's just, I can't make a fist.
Out just how important that thumb is.
Oh, yeah. Things like eating is a real problem for me. I can't hold a fork or a spoon and eat. At least not like that. I can probably kind of. So I'm learning to do things on my left hand.
I shouldn't laugh at you, but I'm going to laugh at you.
No, it's wild.
I'm thinking, you know, so I used to work with handicapped folks, and I can make you a spoon that bends and puts a strap over your hand if you need it so that you can at least eat.
Well, I had trouble, like, getting coffee the other day because I usually take a little measuring thing and reach in and get it. I couldn't hold it and be able to just pick up the coffee. It was too heavy and it was causing quite a bit of thumb pain. It was a pretty bad sprain, basically. Yeah. We'll see if I can swim sometime next week because it doesn't hurt to as much to push in that direction. It's this direction.
So say if you can tuck the thumb in, I mean, you know, obviously you're going to lose a bunch with your hand, but if you can keep that thumb tucked in.
Well, if I can just keep it to the side. The question is, will that force cause me any real pain?
Could you tape your thumb in so
no,
that it's
no, that would hurt.
Not okay.
That would hurt. That would hurt a lot.
Or tape it to the side of your hand.
It's any type of motion to bring it, to curl it in is where all the pain is. I think it got snagged under and just really ripped the heck out of that muscle. So going back is not a problem. My problem is going into the palm
forward, going
of my hand, it hurts a hell.
That's why I'm wondering if you had your hand straight and then taped it up.
Any type of thing to tape it in would hurt.
Okay, never
mind. Would hurt a lot. But if I can just kind of, if I can let it sit there and be able to push back against it and not hurt my hand. Mm-hmm. If not, I'll be doing some kicking.
There you go.
I didn't swim today. I may not try this week. Maybe next week before I try swimming. Like I said, I want swelling to kind of go down on this.
Yeah, let it
get a little bit better and maybe feel a little bit better. I imagine it'll be a few weeks before I can be able to, like, pick anything up again.
Just don't drop the coffee cup. You know, don't.
Well, you just learned to drink with your left hand.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I can still at least type.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt because it's the back, again, as you're pushing back, so hitting the space bar doesn't really hurt.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable after a while. I've got my hand all wrapped up, but I've finally gotten to the point where I just have to uncover my knuckles so I can type.
Yeah.
The problem was when I got my knuckles and stuff covered up, it was
can't
my fingers. I couldn't get my fingers out wide enough to get to the keys like I'm normally used to. But, you know, I can type. I can't pick anything up. Biking might be a trouble.
And this is why I didn't go with you all. I thought about it, but I was like, I'm going to get hurt.
It's my fault for not taking my skis.
Yeah. All right. So how's your weight loss doing?
You know, I didn't get on the scale.
I have
no idea.
That's one way to...
That's kind of been my strategy all along through the last year. No, I do need to get on my scale. I have no idea. I think I'm about the same. I don't think I made any gains last week.
Yeah, I didn't.
Now it's going to be even harder now that I can. I'll be less active now.
Start running more.
Yeah, I don't want to get injured either.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also caused me trouble with Fortnite, too.
Oh, no.
It's a real problem in life.
Shucky darned,
I can still play, but it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, my scale hasn't budged anymore. That's okay. I'd rather it stay right where it is. That is good, going up. I think I only biked once last week because it was so cold. Oh, my God, it was so cold.
I've been on the train, on the rollers a couple times last week. Like I said, I've been trying to get on 2 or 3 times a week. I've been running 3 times a week, swimming 3 times a week. But now last week we couldn't swim because we got canceled on Tuesday and Thursday.
Last week was kind of a bust just because of the snow. So I think about it, it's like, why didn't I get on the train? Oh, yeah, I was skiing because it was like 2 degrees a couple of days.
Yeah.
It was so cold. We were snowed in, you know. I mean, sure, I could have gotten the bike turn. Yeah. I did go running a couple times. I should have worn my Yak Tracks one run, but I just ended up staying in the roads and went out early enough so that I could avoid the cars. But I haven't done any speed work, which is fine. I need to this week. What are you doing on your intervals these days? You did, or did you have an off week this week?
I had an off week, so I don't really have any data on that. I'll probably get to it this week.
Oh, the one thing I did is... I don't think I talked about it last week. I got the swim-based triathlon heart rate monitor. I can't remember if I talked about it last week or not. I've only worn it a couple times. But it doesn't register your heart rate to your device while you're swimming. It downloads it afterwards. So,
right. Well, you can't transmit heart data that's the reason, like, the Garmin's cut off. It's heart rate data in swim is a problem. The liquids do make it hard, one, to transmit any data.
Right. And
secondly, it messes with the data itself. That's why Garmin's cut off, because they can't get reliable data while you're swimming.
On the wrist-based.
On the wrist-based ones, yeah.
That's what, well, this is the chest strap. So, done that a couple times. My heart rate doesn't get up nearly as high as I thought it did when I'm swimming. Like, it feels like it. Then I look back, I'm like, oh, that was it?
Right. Well, again, you don't...
I wasn't as close to dying as I thought I was.
You have to swim a lot longer for you to affect your heart rate upright. That's the problem with trying to track heart rate in swimming. If I go hard for 100, for me, that's 1 minute 15 seconds. My heart rate is probably not going to get over 140 in that 115, even though at the end I'm... and feel like I'm about to die. It's just, it takes a while for the heart rate to go up.
I was surprised that it wasn't more fluctuation in it, because that usually happens when I run. But with the swimming, it stayed pretty level. My high, I think, was 161. It's like, okay, that's not like what it is when I run, so that's good. All righty, let's see. Races, that's the next thing.
Yeah, well, last time we talked about like what races we're doing for the year, and usually I start off by looking at what races I've done before,
mm-hmm.
what I'm going to do this year based off of what I've done before. And then I try to go like, okay, where do I go out and find races? And I think this becomes an interesting topic in general, is where do you find races? If I'm new to triathlon, or I've only been racing a local race once or twice, how do I find more triathlons that are out there? A long time ago, I came across trifind.com. I think at the time it was trifind.net. Eventually, they got the .com somewhere along the way. And they have, I guess, race directors can go on and register their races mm-hmm. by state. And normally, if you go into any state, Kentucky's never been one to have a ton of them. But Kentucky usually has a page or two of them. Tennessee usually has two or three pages. And Indiana's another state that has a lot of pages. Ohio's another state that has a lot of pages. Kentucky doesn't. I'm just like going in and like click on Kentucky, and Kentucky has one page. It looks like the guy who's doing the Modus Capital View Triathlon here is doing one in Frankfurt, and he's going to do one in Green River Lake.
Yeah.
And then there's the 2021 Tri Louisville, which is the Team Magic race, and I'm curious to see if they'll actually get the permits for that one in June.
Yeah, that's June.
June 6th.
They should, just from what I know about running races, but yeah, Louisville, I don't know, Louisville's a little different. I just know it's opening up more in our area and closer to Lexington. Races are being allowed to be run.
Well, I think you're also probably seeing some of the contraction of events in general. Race directors just going out of business or not really wanting to open up and try to put things until later in the summer.
Yeah,
I go to Tennessee and they have 8 events, which is crazy. One's the Ironman. They've got a half in August in Pikeville, a June 19th sprint, and a May 8th, looks like a sprint. Then the Atomic, which is back in October. So their Atomic Man is in October. I don't think it usually runs that late. They've pushed their race way back.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that was like the half or whatever. Yeah, the Atomic Man was the first half Ironman that they ran in Tennessee.
Okay.
I don't think it ran in August or October. I think it ran earlier than that. Maybe I could. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like they've kind of pushed back on that in Lenoir City, Tennessee. The group that does that usually had a couple other races, which I don't see on here either. Mm. It's crazy. This year is going to be a tough year. We go to Indiana. Indiana's a little better. It's probably the best around here as far as having. They actually have 2 pages, some sprints in May, Leon's Triathlon in June 6th, which is one of the older triathlons around. But they don't have like the Tri-Indy race on here, which I assume will happen.
I've seen it. I know they've got a site, and they've got, I want to say they have registration open.
There's a Boilerman Triathlon in the Muncie half. In October. A lot of races later in the year this year, the only ones that are showing up on the schedule. It's wild. Like I said, usually when you go and look, and I'll put this in the show notes, the website for people who are looking for races. This year has just been, there's nothing. There's 4 events registered for Ohio right now.
Wow. That's wild.
September 12th. Let's see, an August 1st one. Then September, September. The only ones I'm seeing are in September or August.
Yeah, nobody's.
There's a handful in June.
For the spring.
I see none for July for the most part. There's some in August and September. It's crazy. It's going to be a tough year to find a lot of different races, especially if you're new to the sport. It'll be interesting. I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those things where if things open up, you might see some more races pop up, but I doubt it. There's just not going to be many races this year. They'll probably come back next year if they open up this year.
Yeah.
The problem is it takes so long to plan for these things. You've got to know. You can't just do
it spur on the moment.
Right.
You know.
Like the guy, the people are doing Louisville in June, they're taking a risk.
Yeah.
They're just going to try to run it. And if it doesn't happen, I guess they're going to defer people into next year.
That's one of the big problems, too, is so many races did defer to this year. So a lot of the Ironman events, I mean, they filled up immediately. You know, I mean, you just can't, if you weren't registered last year, you're not getting in this year. And that's, you know, that's going to be a big problem for a lot of races.
And that's going to happen probably into next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this begins to fill up again this year,
it's
going to be an interesting year. It's going to be tough to find races. Like I said, I've been lucky. I know a lot of these races that I've done before, they're probably going to happen again, but some of them may not, like the Bowling Green race.
Yeah.
That's not showing up as a race so far this year.
No, it hasn't. I hope it does.
Trafford Site has. I mean, some of the other ones have.
Yeah. But they're really, really limited.
And the one in Ohio that I did 2 years ago that I wasn't wanting to do, they kind of think they might be running it, but they're not making any commitments to running their race.
Yeah.
They don't have the date publicly
right.
displayed out on their page.
I had to dig to find.
Yeah, most of their stuff is talking about last year's and the lead up to it.
Yeah.
I imagine they probably got burned last year as well, because I'm assuming they were going to look into run. It'll be interesting to see where this goes and how this shakes out in the next year. You just can't find races this year.
There's just so much involved in planning, and it's, you know, the running races, it's a little bit easier if it does get canceled. I just registered for a race that what they did, I thought it was interesting. The race is in September, and if you registered now, I think there was like a 2 week window, you were guaranteed 100% of your money refund back if they can't hold it because of COVID. And then if you registered from, you know, such and such a date to such and such a date, it was 50%. They also did give you the option of, you know, if that happens, they can't run the race, you can either get your refund or you can donate the money to the cause that the race was for. Because a lot of people, you know, they're signing up races because they want to support whatever organization is getting the money. So I thought that was interesting. So they've got like five different tiers of how they're doing it. So I went ahead and signed up, just because I really like the race, and you know, I'm not taking risk. I can get my money back if all goes to hell in a handbasket in September. But hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, like active.com, they have races, but they don't really have a ton in their list either.
Yeah.
I was just kind of flipping through their list. I mean, they got some of the big national type ones.
Right.
You're going to have to flip through theirs, because they're like in a national, you can see the local ones, but there's just not that many from Illinois and stuff. It's going to be an interesting year to try to find races.
Yep.
In your area, and I don't know how many there are
nearly
gonna be.
As many opportunities, unfortunately. No. So pick wisely, and I mean honestly, I know it's not something you usually wait to sign up, but to me, it's like if you really want to do a race, get your spot because it's going to be gone. But you're taking a risk, you know, that the weather's going to be sneaky, or you're going to lose money, whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure how I'm going to plan mine yet.
I'm just going to, if they're around late, I'm going to register. If not, it'll be next year. I mean, hopefully we'll have some normality next year. We'll see.
Hopefully.
I don't know anymore.
Getting there. I get my second vaccine shot on Thursday. Yay. See how badly my arm hurts this time.
There's been some, I was talking to one of our swimmers, pharmacist.
Yes.
She had really bad reactions to them. She got really both? Sick on the second one.
She got sick on the second one? Yeah.
Her like sister-in-law ended up getting like lost feeling in her hands after both of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her dad had like kind of a mini stroke like a day or two after he got his second shot.
Like the whole family shouldn't have avoided those.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe this isn't the...
Have you ever... Well, my question would be, has anybody in your family had a reaction to a vaccine before?
I think she gets the, because she's a pharmacist, she usually gets the flu shot.
Okay.
Well, this is also the first time that a vaccine's ever been done by mutated, a mutation or whatever, modified, I guess, virus mechanism.
Yeah. I mean, I had COVID, so what they were telling me was that if I was going to have a reaction, bad reaction, it would have been with my first shot because my body already had the antibodies and was going,
right, you didn't need the shot.
And so I got the shot, and my arm, I mean, I felt pretty crappy the next day, but I didn't have a fever or anything like that. I just had a really sore arm for over a week. So all my coworkers that are getting their second shot that have not had COVID, I'm really concerned how many people are showing up to work tomorrow. Put it that way. Hopefully everybody will do okay. But one coworker, she got hers last week and she spiked a fever that night, but she said it was like a light switch. She's like, I felt horrible. And then a few hours later, I was like, oh, I was fine. Turned right off. So they go, okay.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it all rolls out. Because again, this is like the first time they've ever had like a genetically modified version of something that they've kind of rolled out to the public. It's the first vaccine that's been done using these mechanisms, which is interesting. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out in a larger population.
So far, so good. I mean, you know, if people are having reactions, yeah. But I haven't. I don't know what the numbers are. I haven't researched it.
I haven't either. It's interesting.
Anecdotal stories, you know, it sounds like something's up with that family that they're all having weird stuff
happen. Again, this is, but it's all this new. Is what happens when you have limited trials. Stuff like this is going to pop up that is unexpected. And like I said, I know some people that have gotten fairly sick afterwards and everything else. So it's been interesting.
Yep. Whole new world. All kinds of things that we had no
figured
idea
since you didn't affect me, I've already had it or had something similar enough that I can't get it. Sat next to each other for 2 or 3 hours when you were in an infectious state. There's no way if I was going to get it, that was when I was going to get it.
My husband didn't get it. That was crazy.
Of course, he may have had it. He's traveled quite a bit.
Yeah, he's traveled all over the place, but he isn't. Well, but he's in warehouses. He's not close to anybody.
He's next to the local workers, though.
Yeah, but they're all welders. They're wearing, you know, they've got helmets on, and they're in, and you know, those warehouses, FedEx and stuff, they're not air conditioned or heated. I mean,
no.
It's, and they're gigantic.
But you're
going
to go to lunch with them afterwards. You're going to get a beer afterwards. Stuff like that happens.
He very rarely. Well, the restaurants were all closed.
Yeah.
Shoot, he couldn't even use.
But you're going to hang out with each other afterwards and talk. It's just the way of life. I mean, no one sits there and. We're just going
to
all sit like
30 I think probably I spent more, was closer to you than he was in 6 months being with those guys, you know, sitting next to you doing a puzzle for hours.
I mean, he's, you know, you're going to go out to restaurants, you're going to go out and get food, you're going to go to whatever, the grocery stores. You're going to be out in the general public in a lot of places.
Nope, he didn't get it. You didn't get it. I think I only gave it to one person and he's fine. I was like, well, whatever. He said, no, it wasn't you. And I was like, yeah, it was.
I mean, apparently, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it rolled through our family previously.
Yeah.
Back in the first, early before it became kind of widespread.
Knew what it was, yep.
Yeah, it was back, what, in that January time frame?
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to blame it on, or
alrighty.
Probably say it was.
We are running out of time. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you're looking for a coach, go to go3sport.com, and we'll talk to you next week.